You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Wednesday, April the 5th. Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud.
Hey, it's Wednesday.
Oh, I know what that means.
Oh, yes.
Hit it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes.
I wonder who does the voice of that camel. There's got to be somebody out there who knows who the voice of the camel is. I guess we could Google it. The Oracle of Google knows all, sees all, so why not? But even still, how funny. All right, man, you doing all right?
I'm doing great.
Good? Ready for a good show?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Hey, listen, we do got a good show for you. We do got a good show. So, 3 o'clock today, former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne, he's going to call in and give us his perspective as a former U.S. attorney, a prosecutor, on the indictment of President Trump and the arraignment thereafter. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you watched it last night, but I watched not only the arraignment news, but then the speech. I mean, President Trump literally flew back to Florida for a packed room of hundreds of people and gave a classic, you know, Trump speech. And it was good, but it was also, he spent time, maybe more than he could have or should have, unpacking the whole notion of what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years and how many investigations and everything. It's just nonstop. Well, it was something. So we'll be talking about that a lot during the show. Former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne calling in at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, you know the deal. It's Wednesday. We play the camel at the beginning of the show, and towards the end of the show, we do the Grand Council. So, yeah, Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, both calling in. Plenty to talk about. Things happening in Montgomery, things happening, in D.C., and certainly things happening in New York City and Mar-a-Lago. Anyway, 4 p.m., Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. And then there's this whole triple dipper thing that is full of stuff. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, Trump derangement syndrome. Oh, man. I'm telling you, they are just like the walking dead right now. The virus has caught hold and it's just everywhere. How do you stop this? What are the symptoms? What are the manifestations, if you will, of Trump derangement syndrome? Well, we're going to talk about it in light of this indictment and how it just doesn't break down well. It doesn't add up. What it basically means is Trump derangement syndrome is what drove the indictment. And we'll talk about that in great detail. And then again at 3 o'clock with Jay Towne. All right, number two on the triple dipper. I'm just calling it keep your head on a swivel. Why do I say that? That's a phrase that basically means be alert. Keep aware of your surroundings. Watch what's going on around you. Don't have your head down in or stuck in the sand. Well, so there's a lot of other news is my point. There are a lot of things happening all around us, state, federal, international. And so we're going to pick a few of those and just make sure that we're keeping the fact that other things are happening in the world besides Trump derangement syndrome. Number two on the triple dipper, keep your head on a swivel. And then number three, the toothless Russian bear. You know, for decades, I mean, I grew up in the Cold War era. For decades, it was all about the Russian bear, the mighty Russian bear. Be careful, the Russian bear. That Russian bear has no teeth. I mean, what we're seeing right now is pretty epic in terms of clumsy and not working well and certainly not going the way anybody, to include President Putin, thought this would go. So we're going to talk about what is happening with the toothless Russian bear. All right. That being said, let me switch over here and go to my opening monologue, my comments for the day. All right. All you guys, everybody out there knows I'm an Army guy, right? It's been a huge part of my life. Every time an Army guy gets a chance, they got to throw a zinger, a little bit of shade, if you will, on the other service branches. Of course they do. They do the same to us. It's the way of things. But having said that, now I have to tell you this. I saw a cartoon once, right? It was several images of the different ways that different warfighters handle the times when life just plain sucks. So the first image was of some poor Joe, a regular grunt infantryman. He was standing in the mud and the rain, looking despondent and saying, "This sucks." And the next image was a Marine standing in the mud and the rain saying, "I like the way this sucks." And the next was a Navy SEAL, again in the mud and the rain, saying, "I need this to suck some more." And then the next was an Army Ranger yelling, "Embrace the suck." Well, the last image, though, was an Air Force guy sitting in his recliner with rain coming down outside his window and the TV in front of him saying, "Hey, my remote quit working. This sucks." So everybody in the Army always knows that the Air Force has got it easy, right? I don't care who you are. It's just funny. Even you Air Force guys have to admit it. But that cartoon, it was meant as a joke. But, you know, I'll be honest, like most good humor, it's a joke based in reality. Life can throw us curveballs. And sometimes, yes, sometimes life can suck. We cannot control everything that happens to us, but we can control how we react to it. We can choose to reframe it, actually learn something from it, even from the sucky parts. We can learn to embrace the suck. I read a case study recently. A military psychologist did a study on the effects of being a POW on the survivors of the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. When those men who were held prisoner for years on end by the North Vietnamese, often in isolation and even tortured, when they were finally released, it marked the longest continuous captivity of any service members in the history of the United States. What the study found, though, was that the vast majority of them, despite the deprivations and abuse, they came home largely intact and they went on to lead productive lives. Of one of those who had been held for just under 9 years, the author wrote that, quote, "He took a life-disrupting experience, he made the most of it. Instead of investing energy in his own bad failings, he embraced the suck, and he turned his 8.5 years as a POW into an opportunity to create a better, stronger version of himself." So how do you do that? Well, the quote went on, "As to all those prisoners, they became experts at not letting the experience frame them. They created goals for their experience. They found ways not just to survive, but to thrive. One of them designed a whole house in his head, which he in fact built when he returned home. Several of them learned new languages they taught to them by their fellow POWs. One ran around his cell in circles for hours at a time, not because of frustration, but because he was working on his health and fitness after the injuries he had received ejecting from his fighter. The point was that in a crisis, there's value in pausing to ask, what meaning can I find in this?" So how do you look at the world around you and decide to actually embrace the suck? I mean, me personally, like a lot of you, I've known the loss of loved ones. I've seen family strife take its toll on members of my extended family. I've been through physical hardships like Ranger school and the trial of going to war twice. I've had highs and major lows in businesses. I've struggled at times to make ends meet. And Lord, I've been tired. Tired down to the bone. Tired in my very soul. And as crazy as it sounds, I've become stronger due to each of those periods when life just sucked. I'm not sure that I was always good at embracing it at the time, to be honest, but I do know that I survived and learned to embrace the aftermath and move forward with a strength that I didn't have before it. And I find myself, even now, looking at the world around me and wondering how we got to where we are right now. Our culture is crazy. It's madness. There's a lack of loyalty. And everywhere I turn, it seems like liberals get their way and conservatives get to go to court. I don't like where we are as a nation right now. But I know where we've been. I know that we've seen worse and we've come out stronger as a people and as a nation. And right now, things seem to suck and liberals seem to always have the means to reach their agenda just by scratching, clawing, looting, and burning. But I'm not throwing the towel in. But then I also find myself thinking, but for how long? How long? It's a fair question. How long does the suck have to be endured? Well, what's your alternative? Give in? I read a devotion this morning that Charlene had sent me, and it was spot on. The author talked about things like the fact that Moses, who lost everything, fled a life of relative comfort living in Pharaoh's palace and literally spent the next 40 years living a hardscrabble life tending sheep and roughing it in what was often referred to as the wilderness. Moses was 80 years old before God gave him his mission to lead Israel. Sometimes embracing the suck is just about not quitting. And believe me, not quitting is itself a victory of sorts. That same devotion, the one that talked about Moses, it had a quote from a guy named Rick DeVos. He's one of the founders of Amway and the owner of the Orlando Magic basketball team. DeVos said this about embracing the suck. He said, persistence is the single most important ingredient of success in life. When confronted with a failure or disappointment, you have only two choices. You can give up or you can persist. If I could pass on one character trait to young people in the world, one single quality that would help them achieve success in life, it would be persistence. It's more important than intellect, athletic ability, good looks, or personal magnetism. Persistence comes from a deep place in the soul. It's a God-given compensation for what we lack in other areas of our life. Never underestimate his power. What a great quote, man. But listen, the part of that devotion, though, that got me the most was the conclusion with a quote from Galatians 6:9. That's the verse that says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." We're told basically by that verse to hang in there, to not lose heart, to not get tired of doing what's right. Basically, we're told to embrace the suck. But the author of that devotion explained it further by pointing out that the second part of that verse, where it says, "In due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Due time. Due time in the original Greek translation is idios keros. Keros means a special moment in time at which something should be done. But idios? Idios means ownership. It means embrace something as your own. So taken in full, that verse, Ephesians 6 or Galatians 6:9, it could be roughly translated to mean, if you'll embrace the suck, then the day will come that you'll also embrace that special moment when it all gets better and when it all makes more sense. All right. So whether that's you personally with life events that suck or personal hardships that suck or whatever, or whether you look at the world around you and just want to shut your doors and windows and keep the crazies at bay because culture just seems to suck, do not quit. Do not stop. Do not let up. Embrace the suck now. Get stronger because the day is coming when we will embrace the other side. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Yeah, I mean, isn't that something? I mean, if you look at it and you take the original Greek translation and you translate a verse from Galatians 6:9, you're basically hearing embrace the suck. But guess what? You'll one day, if you do, you'll embrace the outcome. All right, folks, y'all hang in there. We're going to embrace this thing together. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Man, text lines have already blown up.
We got some really good ones, actually.
Yeah, hey, if you want to text in, the number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Let's get a few of those.
Okay, there's one that I want to read out real quick.
What you got?
John from Huntsville. Yeah. He likes to send some funny ones.
Yeah.
He said, "Hey, Boomer, I don't know who does the voice of those crazy camels, but I do know the voice of that jackassery sound effect is provided by Joe Biden."
You know, it does sound kind of like
pretty
him.
Pretty close.
That's why I may very well be. Okay, so, oh, wow. Thank you, John. What else we got? Doman from Harvest, he says that cartoon that I was talking about, he says, "I've got that cartoon at home."
I did look up the name of the camel.
Did you?
Yeah, Chris Sullivan.
Chris Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. He's probably recognized, what Google says, recognized as the lovable Toby from NBC's This Is Us. I've never seen it.
I've never seen This Is Us.
Me neither.
It's on NBC.
Yeah. but he is the camel.
But he is the camel. Okay. Oh, very cool. Well, I mean, and somebody else has texted in. They thought it was somebody else. Who was that? Oh, gosh, I've forgotten. I can't find my text now. There's so many of them. It may have been, was it Teresa? Yeah, it was. Teresa from Coleman, I think she's saying she thought it was the guy who played Cliff Claiborne, the mailman guy on Cheers. I can see that.
Oh, yeah,
I can
yeah,
see
yeah.
It.
I can see that.
I can hear it in my head. Hey, Sammy. Yeah, maybe so. Mike. what else we got? Louis from Arab, regarding my monologue, just said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, indeed. New texter on the line, Catherine, who says she's from beautiful Huntsville. Catherine, we're glad to have you. Brian from Huntsville reminding us that Maundy Thursday, which is, you know, we're talking about leading into the crucifixion here. Maundy Thursday up until Easter morning was a serious suck zone. Yes, indeed, it was. JT from Lacey Springs says the positive of the POWs is their mental ambitions exceeded their physical confinement, which pushed them through. I agree. And then we got another new texter who did not tell us who they are. They agree. Chris Sullivan is the voice of the camel. Tell us who you are, where you're from. We'll get you in there with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and other hundreds of people who are in our texting system. But what you got?
Oh, I was going to say about our March Madness bracket, which was so much fun. I just wanted to announce the winners again because I'm still waiting for two people to respond.
Yeah, so we got stuff. We got prizes.
We got stuff for you guys.
But if you don't give us a mailing address, what do we do?
I know. Text in, email in, respond to my email, whatever. Mason Dillinger and Michael, number one and number two. Ellis, ATK, they already responded, so we have their stuff being sent out.
All right, nice. Well, yes. I'll tell you what. We need to get hold of that winner, and let's get them on the show.
Oh, okay.
Let's get them to call in, and we'll find out what their magic was when they filled out the bracket.
I like it.
How did they destroy the rest of the world and prevail with their bracket? What hoodoo did they put upon it? Did they? what conjurings caused that to happen?
Exactly.
I don't know. All right. That's good. Good stuff, man. Well, we enjoyed the. And thank you again for doing the bracket, Boomer.
That was so much fun.
That was awesome.
Yes.
Now we got to figure out what the next thing is.
We'll figure out the next thing and get it going soon.
What do we do next? What's our next bracket? What's our next thing?
We'll have to figure it out.
Frisbee golf bracket.
I know. In the fall we're gonna do pick'em.
Pick'em.
Pick'ems, which means that you get to pick. It's college, but you get to pick the team that's gonna win each week. So it's like a weekly thing all the way through the season. It's kind of fun. You have to pick each team that's gonna win every week.
Auburn.
No, yeah. But it's not just one. It's like, you know, 15 games a week or something. It's fun.
Nice. Okay.
It'll be a good one.
In the meantime, what, is there a wiffle ball bracket we can do?
There's a wiffle ball. Beach ball, I don't know.
Yeah, is there the, what was that? What was that, the NHL Transgender Hockey League bracket? That one, we can just bet on injuries for that one. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, listen, we got a good show laid on for you. Former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne coming up at the top of the hour. Y'all stay tuned for that. We'll come back after this break, and we're going to kick off Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah, and I've got a copy of the 16-page indictment right here in my hot little hands. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show broadcast way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure some of y'all watched yesterday as the arraignment proceedings, if you want to call them that, the arraignment of President Donald J. Trump, which is still amazing to me that we're here. It's amazing to me that this is happening. Now, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think there's anybody that says if the guy had murdered somebody, if he had a DUI hit and run, if he had forged his taxes for years, if there was something that was like, wow, that's bad, we'd all be going, I get it, man, this is awful. He needs to drop out of the race. What the heck? How is he president? That's not what's happening at all. It's absolutely farcical. The very idea that a DA who openly and admittedly does not want to prosecute crime and was helped into his election with money from George Soros for the sole purpose of reducing the amount of prosecution of crime. And we're sitting here looking at him trying to say to the public that he is ramping things up because no one's above the law. We don't let, you know, white collar crime go on. What? All right. So I actually have a copy. Thicker than usual. You can hear it. You can hear it. rattling the thickness over here. 16-page indictment. I have a copy of it. I've gone through it. You know what this is? This is a stack of toilet paper right here. This is awful. I mean, you read through it, and even if I were not an attorney, I could read through it and go, what? And begin to realize that what we're looking at, in case you haven't heard, here's what the charges are. 34 counts, falsifying business records in the first degree. If you're falsifying in the first degree, and it also says it in here, by the way, if you're falsifying in the first degree under the penal law, section 175.10 in New York, then you are falsifying documents for the intent of covering up or pursuing an additional crime. What's the additional crime? We don't know. But here's where it goes. There was apparently a payment. Everybody knows this. Stormy Daniels, porn star, alleged 2006 affair with Donald Trump. Did it happen? Did it not? I don't know. Are there pictures of them together? Yeah. But the reality is Donald Trump has always denied that. Take that for what it's worth. Here's the other part of this, though. His attorney at the time, the one who handled matters for Trump's organization, one of his many attorneys, a guy named Michael Cohen, paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 in February of 2017. And then he invoiced Donald Trump for what he had done. But the invoices didn't say hush money and drafting of a non-disclosure. It was just invoicing for legal services rendered. And then every time he invoiced it and received payment, if you read the indictment, the first one is here's how it reads, made and caused a false entry in the business records of an enterprise, to wit, an invoice from Michael Cohen, dated February 14th, 2017, marked as a record of the Donald J. Trump revocable trust and kept and maintained by the Trump Organization. Huh. But then the next one, the second count, with intent to defraud and intent to commit another crime, it made a detailed ledger entry for the Donald J. Trump revocable trust. Huh. What you're looking at here? Oh, by the way, the third count was a check that was written. And the fourth count, another invoice, another check. So what you're looking at here is the single transaction, the one time it happened, when a payment was allegedly made, that apparently wasn't the crime. The crime was the fact that Donald J. Trump got invoiced by Michael Cohen, and over time, he would invoice, he would pay part. He would invoice again, he would pay the next part. And every time there was a check written, they're calling it a crime. And every time there was an invoice sent, they're calling it a crime. And every time his bookkeeper made an entry into the ledger, they call that a crime. It's the same transaction sliced up into 34 pieces. That's what it is. And you look at this and go, my God, what? How do you take something and slice it up into 34 different pieces and call that 34 counts? Well, the fact of the matter is you technically don't, unless you're Alvin Bragg. Well, Trump derangement syndrome is all over this. Story here on townhall.com. Townhall.com has a piece that basically points out the fact that what we have right now is an indictment, in his words, soaked in partisanship and so laughably bad, some political theater, that they're finding ways to elevate misdemeanor charges into felonies. And then they got around the statute of limitations by claiming that the clock stopped during the COVID pandemic, which told the statute of limitations. Give me a break. But it says the liberal media is now having their day, with some saying the quiet part out loud. It says the corporate media didn't want to see Donald Trump in jail, though, or dropping out of the GOP race, because they need this to feed their addiction to Trump. Like it points out, it says DeSantis doesn't bring the same kind of high for the media. They want Trump elevated. Some would like him to be the nominee because they think he'll be easier to beat, like Joy Behar said on The View last week. But for others, it's not so overt. They just want to ride a little bit longer. So it's not about the charges. It's about their addiction to Trump. That's such an accurate portrayal of Trump derangement syndrome. Let's do what we got to do because he gives us stuff to talk about. Really? Meanwhile, by the way, you use the court system to get there. That's just not only obnoxious, it's wrong, it's unethical, it's illegal. The very idea that we're going to take the court system and change it into an opportunity to persecute a person, you're not supposed to be persecuting people, you're supposed to be prosecuting people. Story on Red State. RedState.com, legal experts across the political spectrum are laughing at Alvin Bragg's indictment of Donald Trump. Alvin Bragg is coming off like a buffoon. Now, he's got people that believe he's a hero. Most of them don't. Even the pundits on CNN are beginning to sound a little sad about this because they recognize how hollow it is. It says that literally in the courtroom that it's being said that once the indictment was unsealed and Donald Trump was able to hear and see what the charges were, his own attorneys laughed when they read it. It's almost like a sense of relief. I guess the only downfall to those attorneys is they're not going to have near the amount of billable hours they thought they would because this thing is so hollow. Trump's attorney, Joseph Tacopino, seemed to confirm this, it says, with an answer during a press conference. He says, after the indictment, I'm sorry, I don't have that quote on here. Former director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe called it an indictment of Alvin Bragg and said that legitimate law schools will forever use this indictment to teach the concept of prosecutorial abuse of discretion. It's just another pundit from Red State called this calling this thin gruel is an insult to thin gruel. I'm just telling you, folks, we are not looking right now at true justice. What we are looking at, though, is a Manhattan DA who is, in my opinion, lying to the public. Now, Jay Towns coming on in a little while. I've not been a prosecutor. Maybe he'll have some ideas, but I suspect he's probably going to agree that this is a hollow indictment. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, he went to the podium yesterday, and he said, "We will not normalize serious criminal conduct." He normalizes serious criminal conduct as a matter of course. Y'all, look at his record. I mean, how many times, here it is, in 2022, Bragg's first year as a Manhattan district attorney, that prosecutor reduced more than half of all felonies to misdemeanors. More than half reduced to misdemeanors, except for Donald Trump, where they take misdemeanors and they create felonies. In fact, they slice them up into little pieces so they can try to pretend they have 34 different felonies. But what they really have is one thing happened. The lawyer then invoiced his client, and his client began paying the bill. And every time a new invoice came in, it was a new crime. What? Yeah, that's not real. Alvin Bragg, in his press conference, he said this in the middle of his Trump derangement syndrome seizure. He said, under New York state law, it's a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and intent to conceal another crime. That's exactly what this case is about, he says. 34 false statements made to cover other crimes. They're not 34 false statements. They're accurate statements of bookkeeping. I heard somebody, I think it was Alan Dershowitz last night. He made a point that I thought was so prescient. You know, Bragg's theory is this was a secret way to help the Trump campaign. Therefore, he should have reported it. So I'll be honest, the idea that it's hush money already means ain't nobody planning to report it. So there's that. You don't provide hush money and then announce you provided hush money. It doesn't work that way. But then again, it was never intended to be, you know, covered up, or excuse me, announced to the world. It was always intended to be in the background, if that can ever be said to have been a thing. But then Alvin Bragg went one step further, man. Because you see, that indictment, that big fat piece of paper I've got over here, that stack of paper, that stack of toilet paper I've got right here in my hands, every single one of these counts has the phrase, with intent to defraud and intent to commit another crime and aid and conceal the commission thereof. What's the other crime? What is it? He was asked during the press conference, what exactly is the other crime? You know, as a matter of, you know, due process, you're allowed to face your accuser and to know the charges that you're being brought up on, right? It's a constitutional mandate. Alvin Bragg's response to what is the other crime? Here's his response. He says, well, let me say as an initial matter that the indictment doesn't specify it because the law does not so require. Really? In my remarks, I mentioned a couple of laws, which I will highlight again now. The first is New York State election law, which makes it a crime to conspire to promote a candidacy by unlawful means. I further indicated a number of unlawful means, including additional false statements, including statements that were planned to be made to tax authorities. I also noted the federal election whatever. The very idea that he's going to stand up there with a straight face and say, well, I don't know that I'm really required to tell you. Yes, sir, actually you are. It's called a matter of public record. Once it's unsealed, you got no choice. And oh, by the way, Donald Trump has a right to know exactly what it is you believe the other crime was that he was trying to commit. All right, this Trump derangement, I'll tell you what. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do the break right now. Finish this up a little bit when we get back. And then, oh, by the way, we'll talk to Jay Towne, former prosecutor, U.S. attorney, see what his thoughts are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Finishing, but we're heading through number one of the Triple Dipper, Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, right now they're even talking about whether there will be a gag order on the president. Now, the judge did not put a gag order in yet, all right? The judge did allow photographs in the arraignment proceedings, which are not typical, that happened. The judge did say that he's going to limit cameras and things during a potential future trial. There's that. We'll see how that goes. But then the other piece of this is that the judge set the next hearing for December 5th, just weeks before the primary. Huh. Go figure. How's that work out? There's also a report right now that the judge's daughter worked for the Bidens and for Kamala Harris as an intern. Really? Okay. Right now, I got a piece on Fox News. dated yesterday. Gag order on Trump would be unconstitutional, say top House Republicans. Now, I don't know the answer to this question. To me, it does seem inexplicable that the judge could eventually order a gag order, maybe during the actual proceedings, but I cannot imagine between now and then stopping somebody from going to the podium and talking about what's being said about them. I don't know. We'll see. But I want to make a note to myself to ask Jay Towne that when he comes on, what he thinks about the possibility of a potential gag order in this thing. And how would you do that, by the way? So if you're in the campaign season, he's a candidate for president again right now. Right now he is. He's one of the few who's actually declared his candidacy, and he's running for office. If he's asked a question, is he not allowed to address it? If he's in a debate and the other person wants to snidely say something, can he not respond? I mean, how would a gag order even work in this situation? Not to mention the fact that he owns a social media company. And, oh, by the way, he's a prolific communicator. I mean, the guy does not slow down. He's communicating with his fan base at 3:30 in the morning and holding speech rallies in front of thousands. So I don't know how that would ever even work anyway. Give me a break. All right, so taking it to the top of the hour here, piece from National Review, Andrew McCarthy, who usually gives great legal commentary, in my opinion. His headline is, Bragg's indictment even fails as an indictment. He says, what a disgrace. That's how he opens it. Bragg's indictment fails to state a crime, not once, but 34 times. He said, Bragg's indictment charges 34 counts, just as we said it would, based on media reporting that clearly came from illegal leaks of grand jury information. A crime, you can be sure, that goes in the overflowing bucket of serious offenses that Bragg refuses to prosecute. But then he says the 34 counts, kind of like what I described earlier, are arrived at by taking what is a single course of conduct and absurdly slicing it into parts, each one charged as a separate felony carrying its own potential 4-year prison term. By the way, that's true. The maximum potential is 34 times 4. So we're looking at what? 136 years potential. But, you know, Trump's in his 70s. So even a 15-year sentence could be a life sentence, basically. But here's how Andrew McCarthy described the situation. He says, Trump reimbursed Michael Cohen in monthly installments during 2017 for the $130,000 paid to porn star Stormy Daniels right before the 2016 election. Okay. That, in reality, is a single transaction, Trump paying a debt back to Cohen, yet because Trump paid it in installments, and each installment includes an invoice from Cohen and a bookkeeping entry by the Trump Organization and a payment to Cohen by a check, Bragg not only charges each monthly installment separately, he subdivides the installment into other installments. Just and then voila, he makes 34 counts out of it. But you got to look at some of the other pieces of this, like not the least of which is the payments, all the records that you're being indicted for are in 2017 after the election. So they're trying to reach back to something that happened in 2016, trying to figure out how to deal with the statute of limitations. They're trying to stretch it. Hey, I know, let's charge him with when he paid an invoice. And they march those invoices forward and then try to construe the statute of limitations not being run because, you know, he paid it out over time. What the heck, man? This is the absolute worst Trump derangement syndrome prosecutorial misconduct I think I have ever seen, and it's happening on the international stage. People everywhere around the world are looking at this going, what exactly is happening in America? I thought this was the land of the free. All right, we're going to go take a break right now. We'll come back. Jay Towne's calling in, former U.S. attorney, prosecutor. We'll get his perspective on all of it. And I'm telling you, this thing fails in a variety of ways. And I look forward to seeing Trump beat it and beat it hands down. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, yep, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I'm finishing up a segment of the Triple Dipper here I call Trump Derangement Syndrome, all related to the recent indictment and arraignment of former President Donald Trump. And, you know, he gave a speech last night, too. He wasn't playing. He flew back. I find it kind of interesting, too. He literally got out of his, you know, left his estate in Mar-a-Lago, flew in his plane to New York, went to the courthouse, got back on his plane, flew back to Florida, and had a huge celebration. That's kind of a day in the life of Donald Trump. But this is still an unusual day. It's an unusual day, too, for America. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask for somebody to come on who's got more. I mean, I'm an attorney, but I practice, my practice has been solely civil law. So Jay Town is about to come on, former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, appointed there by President Trump himself, confirmed by the Senate in 2017. Prior to that, he had been a senior prosecutor in the Madison County District Attorney's Office. In private practice now. Also, by the way, a judge advocate general in the U.S. Marine Corps. So that being said, let me just bring him on. Jay Town, how you doing, man?
Phil, thanks for having me on, man. I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks.
Weird day for the country.
Weird day indeed. Well, I tell you what, just give me your perspective as a prosecutor. I mean, just give me your thoughts on this actual indictment, and then I got a few questions for you.
Well, first, I think it's important to say that any prosecutor has to consider certain equities when they are bringing a charge against any defendant. And the biggest one is, was a crime committed, and can I prove it beyond a reasonable doubt? And if the answer to either of those questions is no, then you don't bring an indictment. But there are also other equities that need to be considered, especially when you're dealing with a unique and historic historic prosecution of a former president of the United States. And I think those were equities that were ill-considered by Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA. And, you know, on top of that, and you mentioned the grand jury indictment, transparency in prosecutions is vital to allowing full faith, trust, and confidence in what the prosecution is doing, whether it's the state, the county, or the feds. And what we read yesterday, this 34-count indictment brought by Alvin Bragg, was anything but transparent. Even the statement of facts were perhaps the worst statement of facts that I've ever read in my 24 years, going on 25 now, of being a prosecutor and being in law enforcement and being a lawyer. And so, you know, transparency in prosecutions is critical in our system of justice. And we wake up today not knowing what laws the former president of the United States, who's been charged with 34 felony counts in the state of New York, we don't know what laws he's broken.
Yeah.
Or how or why. And that should concern all of us. And another equity that I think is important that Bragg missed, whiffed on completely, is that, and I mentioned trust and confidence in the justice system by the populace, and by bringing a flimsy prosecution against the former President Trump, political enemy of the left, current candidate for President of the United States, opposite of the current President of the United States, Bragg has jeopardized that trust, that confidence, and all of the other cases that not only he's prosecuting in Manhattan, but indeed the cases being prosecuted around the country. Folks are wondering, well, is the system targeting folks or is it targeting criminal misconduct?
Yeah.
Is the system fair? Is it fair for everyone? And we've been hearing a lot about that since really, I mean, going all the way back to Baltimore and the Freddie Gray case, but, you know, also Derek Chauvin case in Minneapolis, George Floyd, 2020, the summer of unrest. And, you know, is our justice system fair? And as much as Alvin Bragg would like to believe that he is on the good guy side of the justice system, he has done a lot of damage to the trust and confidence that people in this country have in our justice system by doing what he's done. And part of that is because most people believe that this is a political prosecution. Most people of any sort of credible ilk in the law believe this is a flimsy case. This isn't what you prosecute former presidents for sure. Nobody's above the law, but nobody's beneath it either. And so when you're using your prosecutorial discretion, you have to ask yourself, okay, maybe I think he broke the law, but am I going to damage all the other cases that are really important where people are dead, people have holes in them, people have guns shoved in their face, right? And those cases really matter to those victims of crime, right? These are paper victims in the Trump case.
Yeah.
Real victims, those cases matter to them more than, and they matter to me more than as a citizen, as a former prosecutor, than a paper case. And so are we damaging those cases? That's something Bragg didn't consider. And finally, we lecture the world when governments jail their political enemies.
Yeah.
We go on and on about the virtues of democracy around the world when those situations occur. Because we can no longer do that because there's at least that perception now around the world that the United States does it too. Don't you point your finger at us because you guys have jailed one of your political opponents as well. So you don't get to lecture me about the virtues of democracy and federalism and capitalism and how wonderful the United States is because you have done exactly, at least the perception is, done exactly what you're accusing us, you know, some authoritarian dictatorship of doing. And so that really, those three points to me mean the most. Those are the ones that sting the most to me. We can talk about all the defenses that Trump has, all the holes in the indictment, some of the ridiculous sort of theories of prosecution here. And those are important, right? Due process takes care of all of that. Jury takes care of that. Motions to dismiss take care of that. But what's still going to be left in the wake of Alvin Bragg and his decision to bring this indictment are the ill-considered equities that I just mentioned and the damage that he has done to our justice system, not just in Manhattan, but around the country, and indeed the way people view our democracy around the world. And that is troubling to me.
Wow, that is so well said. Great summation. Let me ask you a couple of questions. In your experience, now, we have 34 counts, allegedly. I've got a copy of it right here in front of me. I've read through it. Not even being a prosecutor myself, I read through it and just almost had to chuckle, but then also feel sad at the same time because it's 34 counts, but it's really one count that's been sliced up 34 times. And
correct.
And I recognize you have in co-ed crimes, you have the underlying crime that had to occur for the big felony to have, you know, be charged also or something. You know, they wrap together. This isn't that. I mean, is it strike you as being just like almost abusive or abuse of his discretion to slice it up 34 times and make each one a standalone felony?
It's called stacking.
Yeah,
is what it is. It's done to give the perception that this guy must have done something. Now, here's the thing about this type of stacking is that it's all, like as you mentioned, it's really one count. You could maybe divide it into three counts because there were three sort of stories about Trump that were hushed, 30,000 to the doorman,
right.
130 to Stormy Daniels, and 150 to McDougal. So you could maybe argue three counts, but okay. All right. What? 3, 1, 34. When you stack counts like this, what you're trying to show, really, this is for the pundits. This is for people like us to talk about, people on the left to sort of froth about, right, with their sort of breathless punditry of how awful this must have all been for the state of New York to have to endure these 34 crimes. 11 of these offenses is Michael Cohen sending the bill to the Trump Organization
right.
to get paid.
Right.
11 of the 34, a third of them, right? And then there happened to be two vouchers on the very first payment. They for whatever reason, there was sort of a mishandling of it. And that's why you get to 34 counts. It's really 11 different instances of 11 different payments. And then there's a charge for every invoice that was sent, every voucher that was generated, and then every check that was cut in payment of that invoice. And so it is, you know, if you're a prosecutor who's been in court, and you've prosecuted, as I have, well over 10,000 defendants, I don't want to prove 34 counts to a jury. I'm going to be there for 9 weeks doing it. I want to prove one or three, and I'll be there for 9 days. I'm going to get the same sentence. It's the same body of work. The state of New York still has this, you know, I think it's roughly $480,000 because they grossed up the payment to cover the taxes that Cohen would, because he was getting this as income, so they were covering his taxes too. So, but the state of New York got all of its money, right? Yeah. Nobody's out any tax dollars. Michael Cohen's not out any money, so he's not some victim of some scam or some fraud or a failure to pay or a theft by Trump, by misappropriation. And so, you know, it is incredible that a prosecutor would want to bring 34 counts. And the problem with all 34 is if one element of count one,
yes,
or count seven is not proven, then that element exists in all 34 counts. And therefore, all 34 counts are an acquittal.
Well, let me
go ahead.
We're going to run out of time, but I gotta. I mean, you're unpacking this so well. But let me ask you this: a couple more things that I know my audience is going to want to know. Number one, there has been talk; it has not happened yet. There has been talk about whether there would be a potential for a gag order. Can a gag order even apply in a situation like this, especially when you have a political candidate who may have to answer questions because his opponents want to use it against him? How does this? Can you do a gag order in something like this?
Well, the judge could, but it would be taken to federal court immediately and overturned.
Okay.
I mean, this is a guy who's part of his political platform, as you know, as we know, as your audience knows, is that he's running on, you know, the deep state and the unfairness in the justice system that's been targeting him. That's one of the planks in his platform. And so now you're telling him he can't talk about those things, right? And he's a citizen that's presumed innocent, and he's been accused of something. And now you're telling, now if Trump is out there, you know, publishing the address of grand jurors and jurors and, you know, the prosecutors and things like that, and trying to intimidate witnesses, that's very different.
Yeah.
That's actually, it's against the law, A, but B, it does influence the trial, and that shouldn't happen either. But if he's just critical of this whole thing, as I am, then I just don't see a judge ever submitting a gag order in this case. And,
okay.
And if he did, I don't see a federal court, even the First Circuit and the Second Circuit. I guess the Second Circuit is New York. They're going to overturn it because the First Amendment is just too powerful here.
All right. So let me ask you, with about 45 seconds left to go here, do you foresee if the case survives a motion to dismiss, do you foresee any possibility of a motion to change the venue or for the judge to recuse?
I think you're going to see a flurry of all those motions at the same time. That would be the wise strategy by the defense team, because if they lose on one, the judge could cut them a husk and say, okay, but we're going to move this to Staten Island. We're going to get it out of Manhattan. And that's a more friendly demographic for Trump over in Staten Island. They vote red for the most part. At least you're going to have a Republican. You're going to have a Trump supporter perhaps in the Vanira, maybe not on the jury. But in Manhattan, it's just going to be blue and people saying they can be fair. But, you know, we both know that people like they want to be on this jury.
Wow.
And so you got to be really careful and poor dire.
Well, J-Town, I tell you what, man, I'm going to keep you on speed dial because I imagine this is going to be a topic that we're going to have on the air off and on for the next several months. But I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Phil.
All right. Take care. All right. Ran long on purpose because that was just too good to let go of. But that's J-Town. Former Madison County senior prosecutor and U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, long history of prosecutions, looking at this thing through the lens of someone who's done it before and trying to figure out how Bragg thinks he's going to keep it going. All right, there you go. Trump derangement syndrome. My word, could they get any worse? Oh, I hate to ask that question because who knows? With them, anything's possible. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Man, text lines, I was looking over and I'm like, okay, when did these all come in?
Don't forget about them.
But like, good Lord, boom. We got so many people now in our texting system that it's just amazing to me that this is just going like it is. Let's see what we got here. I'll just read a few of them. Russell from Rural Route 1 in Alabama. He says, what do you think would happen to Trump supporters if they found out where the judge lives and started protesting in front of his house? Just like the crazies have been doing to conservative Supreme Court justices. Great point. And let me take that and run with it a second, Russell. Thanks for bringing that up. So his point is this. What if we find out where this judge lives and we go protest just like they do outside of, well, first of all, don't. Don't. It's a violation of the law. Don't do it. I don't care if Democrats do it. Don't do it. There's going to be a lot of things happening in days to come. A lot of things being said. And I just, you know what? Don't be that guy. And don't, by the way, don't be like those guys. And so I, you know, speak out. Absolutely. Civil unrest. No. Civil discourse. Yes. You want to make your point, make your point. Don't make your point in a way that's going to wind up bringing dishonor to the cause, or for that matter, dishonor to you, your family, and maybe even a jail cell. So don't do it. What else we got here? Bob from Decatur. Only a Democrat could brag on someone like Bragg. If you look up travesty of justice in your Funkin' Wagnalls, there's a picture of Twinkie. Calls him Twinkie. That's from yesterday. Weren't you the one that called him Twinkie?
Yeah, Mr. Twinkie.
Yeah. you apparently coined a phrase. So otherwise, known Mr. as Alvin Twinkie. Bragg. Yeah, Alvin Twinkie. There he is. Thank you,
Alvin
Boomer.
Alvin Twinkie.
Oh, gosh. John from Pike Road says, with the judge being a Democrat, his daughter worked on Kamala's campaign and the demographics of New York, I cannot see the judge dismissing this, agreeing to a change of venue of President Trump getting a fair trial or President Trump getting a fair trial by a jury. That's the concern, certainly the concern. Now, at some point, though, this judge realizes he's under a microscope, John. So my hope is that despite his obvious predilections to the Democrat Party, despite the fact that this is in his court and it's big doings, he's still at some point going to have to answer to a Supreme Court. Because I'm going to tell you right now, everything that he denies, Trump has a right to appeal. The thing called a writ of mandamus, or mandamus, depending on who you ask. But the writ is basically when you say, hey, that thing that happened in the middle of our proceedings, stop what we're doing. We want the Supreme Court to say whether that thing should have been allowed or not allowed. I'm telling you right now, this is going to get dragged six ways to Sunday. That judge may want to dismiss it just to get it out of his courtroom. Who knows? Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee. Why don't conservative USDAs go after Biden and his family? No doubt they've committed crimes. It's hard and dogmatic, just like they have. So I guess the bottom line for this, Chuck, is most of our, you know, conservative Republican DAs have more respect for the law than Alvin Bragg does. Alvin Twinkie. All right, there it is. Heading to a break. We're coming right back. I'm switching gears, number two on the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it Keep Your Head on a Swivel. In other words, what other news is out there we need to be aware of? Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Emergency.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. There you go. Look at the map. That's a lot of ground. Okay, so let me hit one text here real quick. I couldn't help but notice, maybe a couple of them actually. Steve from Tennessee, he texted in. He says, if the Bidens have not paid taxes on Hunter's grift, can the U.S. Congress make criminal referrals to state attorneys general? DOJ would do nothing, though. Steve from Tennessee. Steve from Tennessee, I will take that in part and say, you know what? Congress doesn't have to do it. The IRS actually has its own enforcement arm. Those IRS agents carry badges and often guns. The IRS can actually levy penalties and fines in and of themselves, and they could even, if they find that there are unpaid taxes, they could go put an attachment or a lien against, like Joe Biden's, you know, beach home in Rehoboth Beach or wherever that is in Delaware. That's an interesting thought. Did they pay taxes on the money they got from China? It just keeps getting more fun by the minute. Steve from Gunnersville, he says, what? I got to ask, if I were to shoot and kill someone every day for 12 days, would that be one or 12 attempted murder charge? I'm going to be pretty sure, though, if you shot and killed someone every day for 12 days, that's 12 murders. But I think what he's saying is if I shot and killed or tried to shoot and kill somebody, that, you know, attempted murder, it would be multiple. That would be multiple cases of attempted murder. It just would. I can just tell you. The notion that this piece of paper, one single piece of paper, can be diced up 34 times, though. In other words, they wouldn't. In your example, it would be more along the lines of if you shot somebody, if you committed murder, can you have committed murder multiple times if you stabbed them seven times? You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. You don't have seven murders because each of those wounds could have killed. No, it's one. Wow. I mean, the texts keep flowing in. I can't even keep up right now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back to text a little bit later. Let me jump over to my topic for the moment here. Number two on the Triple Dipper, keep your head on a swivel. And when I say that, it's an Army term, I guess. Maybe it's not. That's where I heard it. But what it basically means is keep your eyes up. Be aware of your surroundings. Don't forget that other things are happening around you. Don't be so self-absorbed or intent upon one thing you lose track of everything else. That being said, there's other news in the world. And I have to remind myself of this, y'all. I mean, I get up in the morning early and I'm working on resourcing the show and all that, and I'm thinking, okay, I want to more about this topic, more about this topic. No, there's more topics. So even having a triple dipper is good for me because it makes me branch out the show. Well, so I started all this because when I was researching number one on Trump derangement syndrome, I found a story on The Federalist, and it said exactly what my point is. It said seven serious news stories the media choked out with the Trump indictment buzz. In other words, there were other big things happening, but ain't nobody hearing about it because all they could do is go, Trump ate a ham sandwich. Trump's in his car. Trump's stepping off the planes. Trump's stepping on the plane. It was 24 hours of Trump. Here's some examples. Did you know the Chinese spy balloon that floated, you know, just completely unmolested across America back in February? That despite the fact that the Biden administration says they were able to block it from receiving too much, you know, intel, they don't think it really gathered any intel. No, actually, we have two current senior U.S. officials and one former senior administration official both indicating that, no, that's not actually the truth. It actually was able to collect intelligence on sensitive military sites and likely transmitted those back to China. Oh, good. How about this next story? The House weaponization hearing. Did you know that the Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government held a hearing just in the last couple of days related to a case called Missouri v. Biden. It's a case in which Missouri, Louisiana, and other states sued the Biden administration for violations of the First Amendment through their vast, quote, censorship enterprise, meaning that the Biden administration has now been proven to have colluded with big tech to censor people's opinions or to limit them from gaining knowledge of certain things. That's huge. And that case is ongoing. So much intent there that the House Weaponization Committee in Congress called in the former attorney general for Missouri to have him testify. That's news. How about this one? Border crisis goes global. You've probably heard about them finding more Chinese illegal immigrants crossing over the border, right? It's a lot bigger than we thought. A lot. It says a leaked Customs and Border Protection document reveals that the Biden administration anticipates even further increases in Chinese nationals illegally crossing into the U.S. from Mexico. Between October and February, what is that? 5 months? How much is that? 5 months, I think? Five months. Between October and February, Border Patrol agents encountered 4,200 illegal migrants from China. 4,200. In the previous entire fiscal year, they only encountered 1,900. So in 4 months, they are already looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of almost 2.5 times what they had in an entire fiscal year prior to that. That's just an unusual anomaly that causes one to speculate, why are we seeing such a massive increase in Chinese coming across our border? How about this? Did you know that oil went up again? Why would that be? Maybe it's because OPEC decided to cut their production, and it surprised everybody. They didn't see it coming. A lot of times these things are announced, or maybe they have shutdowns, or they go through seasonals. But no, in this case, OPEC just decided to cut oil production and prices went up $5 a barrel for oil. And we're seeing it more at the pump right now. So in the middle of inflation, now we've got the whole situation with OPEC just doing its thing, man. Why aren't we energy independent? I don't know, but that's news. You're paying more at the pump right now. Guess what? It's because of something you probably didn't see because of Trump derangement syndrome covering up the media. How about this? The dumping of the U.S. dollar. Now, this doesn't even cover all of it, but right now, India and Malaysia decided to start doing their international trade only in Indian rupees from now on. The dollar is off their table. What? Really? Yeah. The dollar is the world currency. At least it has been. Except that you've got what's called the BRICS Alliance. BRICS Alliance would be Brazil. Who is that? Brazil, India, China, and South Africa, I believe. And they've just, oh, and Russia. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. BRICS. BRICS. They've decided that they're going to use the Chinese yuan to do their international trade. And they're moving to try and devalue the dollar on the world stage. Folks, that has economic impacts for us in a big way. That's going to come all the way down to you buying milk and bread. And how well the dollar is received elsewhere is going to affect things like your 401k and all of it. And that's happening in the last few days. But yet all we're hearing is Trump had a ham sandwich. It's just unbelievable. How about did you know that a Wall Street Journal journalist was arrested in Russia? Had you heard that one, Boomer? You had not.
Yes.
Had you heard?
Yes, hear about that.
Okay. I just totally caught you off guard. Sorry.
I was watching all the screens.
Boomer's over here. He's got multiple screens going, all the buttons in the world. He can launch a space shuttle. And I hit him with a question to the back of his head. But yeah, so you heard about that Wall Street Journal journalist. Okay, good. A lot of the world hasn't. His name's Evan Gershkovich. He's a Wall Street Journal reporter. Why he's in Russia right now, I have no idea, but he was there doing his job for the Wall Street Journal. He's been arrested and charged with spying. We have not seen a spying charge like this since the Cold War, in my opinion. But now we have an American journalist detained in Russia. Now, I look at it, go, okay, daggone. I mean, Russia's mad at us, right? I mean, we're funding Ukraine. They're getting spanked by Ukraine right now because Ukraine is using U.S. weapons and using U.S. dollars to prop up their economy in a time when they've been devastated. But you still got to look at this and go, Russia, this is what you're going to do? You're going to take a reporter prisoner and hold him? And now we've got the Secretary of State for the United States having to deal with this with the Russian ambassador and figure out what's what. Meanwhile, internally speaking, there was a Russian blogger. Apparently they have those in Russia too. But a Russian blogger was murdered this past week. I believe he was in a bombing. He actually, he was in a cafe, and he was killed when a bombing took him out. It's being called an internal Russian affair. The Russian government tried to blame it on Ukrainian separatists, but no, we're hearing actually he might have been blogging things that were not popular with the government. Huh. And now he's gone. Well, that's news. But these kind of things are happening all around us. And that's why keep your head on a swivel is what I'm saying. We have got to make sure that we as conservatives don't lose sight of the big fight. Because right now what we have is a battle. But the battle is going to be covered up with the tactics of the moment, all right? But the strategy, the overarching campaign strategy, has got to remain intact. You can't have a battle over here that derails the entire campaign strategy. That being said, we have to stay focused in the big picture. We got to take a look at things and make sure that we are dealing with the equities and the injustices and the reporting and the things that are going on in our own state government, what's happening at our city halls, and not lose sight of the fact that there's more news out there than just what's happening with President Trump. Last one before the break. Did you know that right now in your own state house, your Alabama legislature is in session? Some of y'all know that. I know for a fact. 1819 News reports that a pair of bills just passed yesterday through the Alabama State Senate, sponsored by State Senator Clyde Chambliss. They are election integrity bills. One of them, they already passed. They're through the Senate. Now they go to the House. One of them requires paper ballots. I like that. The other one prohibits the use of any electronic voting systems that are capable of being connected to the internet or to a cell phone network, or that possess any modem technology. What they're basically doing is they're tightening up the processes. For most of us, this won't change a thing. We use a lot of paper ballots in you know, different precincts around the state of Alabama. Paper ballots are harder to gerrymander. And if you can't connect, if you have an air gap, they call it, if you have an air gap on your machine and it cannot connect to an internet capability or a cell phone capability, then you don't have to worry about somebody inputting data remotely that you can't see that changes votes. That's big doings. That news happened yesterday right here in your state capital. All right, taking a break right now, keeping your head on a swivel. I got a few more of these stories that I feel like are important that you got to know are out there. And then top of the hour, we switch gears. It'll be time for the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and little old me. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. You want to text or call in, you're welcome to it. A little tight on calls right now. I'll tell you, only have a few minutes left before the top of the hour, at which point we will go to the Grand Council. But send your text messages, and we'll be getting to them as we go along. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, keep your head on a swivel. What I'm trying to say there is there's more going on in the world than just Trump's arraignment. That's a huge story, no doubt. Huge. That's why I had it on yesterday and today. But I got to remind myself, and I'm just reminding all of y'all too, that there's a lot of things to keep our head on a swivel about. There are other things happening in this world. Here's an example. Fentanyl. You know, that thing that comes from China and up through Mexico. Yeah. that thing that's killed 100,000 U.S. citizens. 100,000. Well, you may remember that just not so long ago, there was a bunch of people, me included, saying maybe it's time for military action. Maybe it's time to locate a, you know, a drug lab creating fentanyl and just you know, go ahead and drop a Tomahawk missile right smack in the middle of it. I'm fine with that. I recognize there are serious implications and that that's an international crisis once you do that. I get it. I get it. It won't be a decision I hope anyone takes lightly. But, you know, when that happened, of course, President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador of Mexico lashed out saying that basically it's not his country's got the problem. It's the loss of values in America causing these problems. Really? Okay, I get it. Maybe there are people over here that are doing the drugs. There were 100,000 who got fentanyl, not all of whom, by the way, were addicts looking for it. There are kids being poisoned because they don't know what their friend just gave them at the lunchroom table. There are things happening where real solid good people are being accidentally given something that shouldn't be given. Nonetheless, Lopez Obrador does not want anyone to believe his country's at fault, so he put it off on us. But then he just turned around. Here's the news. Keep your head on a swivel, because guess what? He admitted it. He actually wrote a letter to President Xi Jinping. He didn't ask for us to help. He didn't say, well, America, if you'll help me, I'll do what I can. No. He said, hey, China, can you help me to deal with the fentanyl shipments coming from your country? Oh, we're admitting this. Says, I write to you, President Xi Jinping, not to ask for your help on these rude threats, but to ask you for humanitarian reasons to help us by controlling the shipments of fentanyl. In other words, he's trying to say, yeah, I mean, despite what Americans say, I mean, it's not really a big deal, but could you help out, please? That's what just happened. So we just had an omission. It's a story on the National Review. It came out yesterday. The National Review reporting basically that the president of Mexico has admitted that fentanyl is an issue, and he's asking for China by that doing that. He's admitting that's where it comes from. Can you help us with this, please? All right, keep your head on a swivel. Here's something that happened. If you live in a manufactured home, and apparently like roughly 6% of housing is in the manufactured home category. If you want to get a new manufactured home, some of those things are pretty nice too. If you want to get a new manufactured home, it's going to cost you more. Why? Well, Senator Tim Scott is condemning the Biden administration for implementing new energy efficiency standards for mobile homes in a rule that will increase costs for low-income households. So this is, and Senator Scott's right, this is oftentimes the way that people can get into the home ownership market. It's more affordable than building a, you know, brick-and-mortar home. But the Biden Energy Department adopted a new rule, and now it requires new climate-dependent energy conservation measures. It's all the green policies. You know, they took away our light bulbs, too, by the way. That's going away in August. So, yeah, despite the fact that Trump said, no, you can do incandescent bulbs. Just make sure you do, like, have an option for both. No, not anymore. We're not going to see that either. They are so into our space right now. The whole gas stove thing, right? The reality is this. Climate alarmists are now making it more expensive by adding an upwards of $400 to $4,500 increase in cost now for a manufactured home to meet new energy efficiency standards. All right, last couple things I've got here. In case you didn't see it, there were some elections yesterday. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Why do I care, Phil? Well, because there's a current pending lawsuit before that Supreme Court regarding abortion. If you're a pro-lifer, Wisconsin just became a new battleground, because Wisconsin just lost its conservative majority yesterday in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in U.S. history, topping $42 million. We just saw a liberal elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court that will tilt it 4-3 in terms of left-leaning justices. And then lastly, as we head to the break, Tennessee State Capitol had their insurrection 2.0 the other day. And now Republicans have moved to expel three Democrat state representatives who went out and chanted and joined the protesters in disrupting the entire floor session of the Tennessee State House. They ain't playing. They're saying, you know what? If you're going to participate, maybe you shouldn't be here. All right, we're coming right back with the Grand Council. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening
to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, what's that time of the week? Wednesday, we not only play the camel when the show starts, we also go to the Grand Council at 4 o'clock. It's when I get together with two of my brethren in talk radio from different parts of the state. We yammer about the issues. We ping each other with questions. We don't know what the questions are in advance, but we see how the answers come out and don't even always agree, but we sometimes still love each other when it's over with. So that being said, all right, these guys are calling in, by the way. They're on conference call or trying to be on conference call today, and so we're going to swap back and forth, so they won't be able to yell at each other directly today. But let me start with calling the roll from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, the host of the Jeff Poor Show and the executive editor of 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
And I'm glad. All right, brother. Thank you. Then I'll go ahead and switch over here while Boomer hits the button and brings him on. Dale Jackson from WVNN, that's 770 AM, 92.5 FM up in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh, and I got a special assist from Yaffe who's driving me right now.
So oh. Yeah, Yaffe's here too. No wonder we dropped your signal a minute ago. All right, no worries. All right, hey fellas, listen. We're gonna wind up having to go back and forth. So I'll call your name. Boomer's gonna have to pipe you in individually because the conference call was full of static. So that being said, I'm going to Jeff Poor first. Jeff Poor, what is your question? Oh wait, hang on. I'm sorry, Boomer. Hit the button.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Yes. I totally forgot. I'm glad you're here. I don't even know what day this is, apparently. All right. Jeff Poor, what's your question, man?
First off, Dale Jackson has had people driving places everywhere. I never, ever understood that. But that's why he can't drive his old sorry ass. Well, however, let's figure out here.
Yaffe's driving Miss Daisy today. That's what we know.
Well, even before Yaffe worked there, he was driving people around. He had people drive him around always that way. It's weird. But anyway... I digress. I guess the obvious question is this. The Trump indictment, the way everybody's making it seem is that this is a positive. Would Trump have been better off with an indictment or without the indictment?
You know, I'll go ahead and answer first while he gets Dale piped back in for his own answer. But I look at it and think, you know, it's not real clear, but I suspect that he would have been better off without the indictment because then he could say, I scared him off. It was so sad that I got the guy cowed down, and he didn't. He came out with this flimsy, cheesy indictment that doesn't really even stand up as a true indictment. I mean, it doesn't even name the crimes. But that being said, my perception is Trump would have been better being able to say, they tried to get me and I scared them away. That's my thoughts. Dale, what are your thoughts?
I tend to agree. I think it might be good for him in the short term. But eventually, you know, he's going to have to deal with this. In the end, he'll beat it, and he'll say, look, I beat him again. But it's just, once again, it's now was on his record, two impeachments, a Russia investigation, and an indictment on 34 counts. I mean, that's just going to get added to his resume, and in suburbs and moderates and all this other stuff is going to hurt him. But amongst his base, amongst the squishy Republicans, it's a net win for him. So a primary Donald Trump is in much better shape having had this happen.
Well, so 34 counts, which are really 34 pieces of one count. But, All right. Let me flip back over to Jeff then real quick. So, Jeff, your own question. What are your thoughts on it?
I just think it's weird because everybody's acting like this is like a good thing for Trump. If you ask Trump personally, like, well, if you had your way, if you could have just had this indictment thing never happen, would you have had it never happen? Or are you just like, hey, bring on more indictments? Because my numbers go up every time you do it. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer here, but it just seems weird. Because if it were me, I would be like, I'll take a pass on the indictment. Just I'm good without it.
Point taken. I don't know, man. I think it'll play out. Trump is a survivor. That is certainly sure. But nobody should have to survive this much crap. All right, flip it back over to Dale. Let's see what you got, Dale Jackson. What is your question for us while Yaffe drives you down the road?
I want to do a little role-playing exercise here for a second. Let's say you are the CEO of Build-A-Bear, and you have an executive come in and say, sir, I have a fantastic idea. We should build drag queen bears for the kids. What do you say to that individual in your office, and why is it you're fired before you throw him out a window?
Yeah, I saw that story. So they're making a RuPaul Build-A-Bear, apparently. And I'm like, what? God almighty. Yeah, so that guy comes in. I'm assuming it's a guy, or at least he identifies as a guy. Let's pretend. He comes in my office and says, we want to do a RuPaul Build-A-Bear. My first question is, I need you to go down the hall, CHR, and piss in a cup so I can tell whether you're high on something. That's my first thought. And then the next thing is, and oh, by the way, your services are no longer needed, and I'm pretty sure we don't need to work about a severance package. I just look at it and go, wow, you're not only doing stuff for kids, now you're grooming kids with toys intentionally. Anyway, flip it over to Jeff. Let me get his thoughts. Jeff Poor, what do you think about Build-A-Bear doing RuPaul dolls?
Show me how it makes me money. I might consider it. If you could show me that this is going to improve and better our shareholders' position, that you're going to make money off of it, that there's actually a demand. I feel like I am not convinced there's a demand for any of this crap. But if there is, then I kind of have a fiduciary duty to my shareholders, I feel like, to at least consider it. But I'm very, very skeptical of the demand.
So you just jumped over into the bah humbug category of, if it makes me money, forget what Tiny Tim needs. I'm just going to go ahead and do the thing that makes me money.
Senator, it's not like we're forcing people to buy this stuff. It's just there. And if some stupid parent wants to buy their kid this is what I disagree with. I think the whole phenomenon is stupid and disgusting. Don't get me wrong. But there are dumb parents out there, and that'll be the parents' choice to make that decision. And if they want to buy little Tommy or Susie a drag queen Build-A-Bear, then I'll let them have it. It's none of my business.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Well, all right. Let me back over to Dale. I mean, so, Dale, your own question, Build-A-Bear, piss in a cup or give him a raise? What are you going to do?
Well, I throw him out the window. Yaffe and I just went to a gas station. Every gas station we stop at, he's like, hey, do you have any of those Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light? Do you have any of those Bud Light with that drag queen on them? I want to buy some of those.
Or you could do like Kid Rock did yesterday, take him out back by the lake and have at it with your automatic weapon. That's what he did on the video yesterday.
That's the right decision.
All right, here's my question for you guys. You ready? Tennessee State Capitol got invaded the other day. I called it Insurrection 2.0 on my show. Democrat legislators are now being openly penalized because they broke House rules. The entire House proceedings were stopped by the protesters, and now three Democrats have been taken off their committees as punishment for having joined the protesters and disrupting the events of the day. So that being said, is this an insurrection? By God, it sure feels like one. Dale Jackson, what do you think?
This hasn't been reported all that much, but I was talking with somebody who works up there, and they said that those guys brought megaphones onto the floor and were rallying the crowd from the floor. They don't report any of that. That's why they're in trouble. Throw them out. Expel them from the session. Is it an insurrection? Sure, why not? Everything is.
Fl- flip it over to Jeff. Insurrection 2.0, Jeff, what do you think?
What are they insurrecting against? I mean, are they overthrowing the Tennessee government? What's going to happen? How does that even work? So I'm not there yet with the insurrection claim. I just think it's hooliganism and it's a double standard, and that's fine if we could call it out. But, I mean, just because the other guys called it insurrection, we don't mean we have to.
Okay, so you'll build a RuPaul doll, but you won't call this insurrection.
I will not build a RuPaul doll. I would be like, look, if you can make money off of it, you build it. I am just going to say, look, people are willing. How much is a Build-A-Bear anyway?
I have no idea. Luckily, my kids never got into them. But that being said, so my own question, I'll just tell you right before the break. I look at this, Insurrection 2.0, not really. But then again, Insurrection 1.0 wasn't really an insurrection either, in my opinion. So I look at this and think, was it unseemly? Probably. Did it need to happen? No. Are there better ways to handle these things? Certainly. Insurrection 2.0 is a euphemistic title given now to something just because if they're going to label things insurrection, then it should be on both sides of the protest. But anyway, all right. Boomer, take us to the break right now while we've got Dale stopping for gas with Yaffe buying him beer while they ride down the road. That's what I heard. And Jeff's building RuPaul dolls. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Going right back to the phones with the Grand Council. That's Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and executive editor of 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN up yonder in Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer News as well. So first question out the gate, round two. Jeff Poor, what you got?
Dale and I have been yelling at each other about economic incentives the last few days, so why not bring it to your show, Senator? Sorry about the State House, by the way, in Senator Elliott's office, who always lets me use it to do these radio spots. But it sounds like they're not going to do anything with this till next week because they're just not there yet. So I'd assumed that this is going to sell through, but the week delay gives me a little bit of a pause to think it's going to be as easy as everything else has been for the governor this year. What do y'all think?
I think they'll get it passed. The reality is the economic incentives package that we passed back when I was in, part of that's just being renewed. And, you know, some call it corporate welfare, but it's not if you look at incentives that have clawbacks and mandatory milestones and other things built in that are contractually obligated to the state or you have to pay it back. So some of that is good, but they porked it a little bit. They're raising the cap quite a bit, and they're also putting things in for green energy and stuff like that. So I'm sure what's happening is people are saying, you know what, we just got a lot of flack for passing that ARPA money, and like in record time. I called it scoot through a goose, and then – maybe we need to pause and read this and, by the way, deliberate a little bit. So I hope they do. I hope they do slow roll this, take their time, and not let the governor bum rush them just because she finally held a press conference about something. Switch over to Dale. Dale, what you got, man? What do you think?
Well, I generally agree with you. I think that this is going to go through. Maybe they'll change it up a little bit, but I think overall the economic incentives have generally worked. They're not perfect, but Jeff will hate to hear this. Everyone else is doing it, so we have to do it. So I think that's where we are, and I don't see any change in that anytime soon.
All right, flip it back to Jeff. What you got, Jeffro?
Yeah, well, I'm just kind of, I guess, glad that it's not going to sell through like ARPA did, because if it does, and it's still a possibility, I mean, what's the point of having the Alabama legislature? It's just a formality. So what I think this is a good test, guys. of seeing if they get it through, but there's at least some amendments and some debate and at least some changes that curve this thing back the other way, away from what the governor wants, then that would be a welcome sign. But if it just sails through again and she gets whatever she wants, we got problems.
Well, she was in she had the press conference, but she had the Senate pro tem and the Speaker of the House and the Lieutenant Governor all standing there with her, calling it the best thing since sliced bread. So I suspect she's got leadership support at the very least, obviously, but I'm suspecting that some of the rank and file is asking for a little bit more time to review some things. But there's also, who knows what else is being bandied about, and they're holding back their votes until they know they've got something else they want just to move forward on. Switch it over to Dale, man. Dale, round two, what's your question, buddy?
I think House Minority Leader Anthony Daniels was there as well, so that shows the Democrats on board.
That's true. That's true.
My question is about a bill by another Democrat, Barbara Drummond, out of Mobile, that says, hey, if your stupid little snot-nosed kid rolls into school with a handgun in his bag and pulls it out, you obviously didn't secure it, so we're going to hit you with a felony charge. I love this, and I think it's a great idea. If they can prove your gun was unsecured, you're not a responsible gun owner, lock them up. What do you guys think about that?
I'll take it first and say no. I mean, first of all, you have to prove it was the parent's gun. That can be overcome pretty quickly. But then secondly, you got, I mean, how many times have kids, you know, snuck liquor out of the parent's, you know, the liquor cabinet? Or for that matter, I mean, I worked with juvenile delinquents for a number of years. Kids do stuff. Can you be held accountable for everything your kids
do? 6 years old.
Say again?
One of these kids in Alabama was 6 years old.
I don't know that it's entirely the parents. A felony charge? I think that's a little stiff. I mean, do you have DHR get involved and look at reckless endangerment? Maybe. But I don't know that you can say you're going to hold them accountable for anything their child does when there's not a parent standing right next to them. I mean, if you find out later on, here, take this with you and show your friends, you'll be cool. That's a little different. But, you know, I can't see the kid who stole it out of the parent's safe and took it to school to flash it around to his kid, to his friends, being the one that holds the parents into a felony charge. Switch it over to Jeff. Jeff, what's your thought, man?
Surprise, Dale's for more government. I would say this, felony charge is ridiculous. I do you realize what a felony charge does to your life?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty serious. And I don't. Look, like you said, there ought to be some kind of repercussions, and you know, the DHR ought to be doing their job, but they're not. Probably a lot of this stuff what happened in the first place. But a felony charge, let's slow down here before we've got the Soviet Union.
All right, so with about 30 seconds here, Dale, why do you love this so much?
Because it wouldn't come out of their safe, obviously, because then it would have been locked up. Well, it's because irresponsible gun owners make it harder for responsible gun owners. Knock it down to a misdemeanor if you feel better about it. But, yeah, these parents of these young kids, they're not being responsible, and that's just the way it is.
So if Grant knows the dial, the combo dial on your safe, and he goes in it and gets it so he can flash it around to his friends on the playground, and you didn't even know what happened, you didn't know he even knew the number, you're going to be held accountable for that? You feel good about that?
Well, they're not putting me in jail for that. They're putting me in jail for beating his ass. That's what ends up happening.
Okay. All right. And by the way, with no time left for my last question, I will go ahead and confess that Charlene just texted me and said that my daughter had a Build-A-Bear when she was little. But that's back when it was safe. That's back when it was safe. All right. Dale Jackson, WVNN, in the car with Yaffe driving Miss Daisy down the road, and Jeff Ropor, we appreciate both of you. Thank you much. Grand Council, once again, Wednesday afternoons are always more fun. All right, we're heading to a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm going to read some texts, and then we'll see whether I can get into this last segment that I've got about the toothless Russian bear. I don't know, man. The text messages are so full, I'm not sure which one I'm going with, Boomer. We'll see when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. all you right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama. I'm talking about this show spans from way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I gotta pause here and tell you guys, Elm Foundation. ELM, E-L-M, stands for Expect Little Miracles. All right, ELM Foundation is doing some cool, cool stuff. So their role in life is to basically bring people back into a position of productivity and having the opportunity to better their position in life. And what a cool thing that is. A 501c3, they're based out of Huntsville. Their website is ELMHSV. It's E-L-M-H-S-V, as in ElmHuntsville.org. Check them out. They're not like throwing money at it like the government does. They're actually walking with people through the process of bettering their position in life, giving them job training and certifications, helping them get off the streets. This is a very cool organization, and we're actually really glad to have them as partners. So check them out. ELM Foundation at ELMHSV. That's ELM Huntsville. ELMHSV.org. Good stuff. Glad they're part of it. All right, listen, I'm going to the text lines, but I got to say, I just had somebody walk in the studio. My brethren, Mike Perkins, just walked in, just texted me, said, I'm at the dentist across the street. How about if I come over? And I said, come on. So, love having visitors. All right, thanks, man. We actually unlocked the door to let you in, just so you know. Hey, I'm going to the text line first. I got a whole dipper that I haven't even touched yet on the toothless Russian bear. I may save this one because... You know, there's so much here. We're finding out so much about Russia's capabilities or lack thereof right now. I'm not sure I want to unpack it with the little amount of time I have left. But I will tell you this. We got some good texts. So, Boomer, are you seeing some of these texts right here? JT from Lacey Springs just texted in regarding the Grand Council. He says, sock Dale in the nose. He says... A felony for parents whose child takes a gun to school? How about firearm education? He says, methinks Dale is not doing good. He says, my grand boys learn a respect of weapons since age 3, and they carry high respect. You know, I don't think for a second that there's going to be truly this issue, but wow, there's that. Got a new texter, brand spanking new, just dropped in the line. I see you, so I'm calling you out. Leroy from Harvest, glad you're on the team, man. We're going to add you to the hundreds and hundreds of people that are in our texting system right now. Mike from Athens. All right, so I did the section a little while ago where I said basically the number two of the triple dipper was keep your head on a swivel, recognizing that there are more things happening in the news than just what is going on with Trump's arraignment. All right, not that that's not a big story, because it actually really is. But yeah, there's more going on. And so Mike from Athens just sent in a question. He says, is Ukraine part of NATO yet or not? No, they are not. Next question. But no, they're not. Ukraine is not a member of NATO. If they were, Article 5 of the NATO Convention would be kicked in, and we would have troops over there right now on the ground fighting Russians. We don't. However, what we did have just this week, Mike, was NATO's border with Russia almost doubled by adding Finland, I think, yesterday. So Finland has been holding out for years, thinking, yeah, we'll get by. We don't have to be a part of NATO. And now Finland and Sweden are watching what's happening to Ukraine, and they decided, you know what, maybe we do want to be a part of this. So it took a little doing. I mean, the populace of Finland wanted in badly. There was like an 80% popularity vote for the idea of joining NATO in the wake of the invasion of Ukraine. And it took Turkey getting out of the way because, you know, all of the NATO countries have to approve unanimously. Well, Turkey finally relented. And so as of yesterday, Finland, which borders the western part of Russia literally doubled NATO's border with Russia. Russia's not happy right now. They're not happy at all about it. So, hey, good question. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. That's Mike from Athens. What else have I got on here? So John from Huntsville wants to know, is Phil, do they build a Trumpy Bear workshop? I don't know. My brother Mike Perkins here in studio. So we had somebody just told us a little while ago and reminded us that apparently Build-A-Bear, I mean, you've got grandkids like I do. Build-A-Bear now has a RuPaul version of Build-A-Bear because we needed that. Yes. It just, yeah. Don't give Mike a microphone. He might say something mean right now. So what else we got in here? Kenny from Elk Rock wants to know what's wrong with Jeff Poor. It's like he did seem a little off today. I don't know, but both of them, it was Boomer. I mean, what do you think? That was one where I feel like the three of us were not in sync.
Not in sync on that one, but you still love each other at the end.
That's the important part. That's right. It's unconditional.
It's unconditional.
This is like where in my household, somebody would look at the other one and go, I love you in spite of yourself.
Like, what were you thinking? I love you.
You're ate up like a soup sandwich, but I love you in spite of yourself. All right. What else have I got in here? And I'll try to get a couple more, and then we'll see what else is happening. Ken from Athens texted in. And, yeah, Ken, I actually just talked about this a little while ago. You might have missed that part. He says, good afternoon. He said, I've seen several videos about China brokering a peace deal in the Middle East and then some kind of a BRICS, that's B-R-I-C-S, BRICS deal moving away from the U.S. dollar. Is there anything to this? If so, why is there no coverage? Great point. I actually brought some of that up in my part about the fact that there's other news going on in the world. So here's the two parts. Yeah, China did get involved and broker a sort of a detente, a reopening of negotiations and of relations between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Caught everybody off guard. You've got the most ardent Sunni nation and the most ardent Shia Muslim nation now saying, okay, we can talk again. That hasn't happened in about 15 years. So China did it, not us, China. We are definitely weaker on the world stage. But then the other question you had about BRICS. So BRICS is the new treaty trade relations grouping of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. That seems like an odd assortment, doesn't it? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, BRICS. But what they're not only doing is setting up trade relations between those parties and trying to bypass some of what the usual trade agreements are in the world, but they're trying to do it using the Chinese yuan and not using the world currency, which is the U.S. dollar. Their effort here is not only to benefit each other, but their effort is also to devalue the U.S. dollar in the process. Not a good situation. And once again, Biden's at the helm. In fact, somebody texted me in. Who was that? Somebody texted in, very concerned about this devaluing the U.S. dollar, and we can't let that happen. Here it is. It was Colin from Decatur. Colin from Decatur, terrifying thought. He says the dollar gets replaced as the reserve currency, leading to World War III because we can't allow that to happen, and Biden is the wartime president. So there you go. And it's got thank yous from Mike from Athens and Kenny from Athens, and then Jeff from Indiana. Jeff from Indiana hadn't called in today. No. I feel a little bit put out. But Jeff from Indiana texts and says, Phil, we know someone committed a felony or multiple felonies in the Alvin Bragg indictment of Trump because they released grand jury information. My question is, who can prosecute the prosecutor? Well, it's a great question. That would be the state attorney general, who is probably not the kind of person who's going to go after a Democrat DA. The state attorney general needs to be looking into that. Truly, that's what needs to happen, because grand jury secrecy is a huge part of the protection of the rights of the accused. You are innocent until proven guilty. Leaking grand jury information, I mean, the possibilities exist there that a grand jury might say, we are not going to bring charges. But the fact that someone convened a grand jury about you can ruin your reputation nonetheless. Not only that, but then you have a right to an adequate defense. You need to know what the charges are and how to respond to them. And if the information is getting out to the general public first, you're hampered because no telling where people might squirrel away the evidence. Witnesses might flee. Who knows what can happen? And so what we got right now is somehow or another, a sealed indictment. because it was under seal. New York law requires that it remain under seal until the arraignment proceedings so that the accused has a chance to see it first. And this thing coming out under seal, and yet the press knew there were going to be 34 counts. How did that happen? Well, it happened because, I mean, there's more holes in that DA's office than a piece of Swiss cheese. So, yeah, great question. Jeff from Indiana, you are absolutely right. And then John from Huntsville just texted in right before I go to the break here. He says, a toothless Russian bear. It sounds like he got in a fight with a bunch of hockey players, and Boomer's already answered, but not transgender hockey players. Oh, my gosh. The things that happen in this studio. All right, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and wrap up our day. It looks like, Boomer, I am saving dipper number three, maybe much to John from Huntsville's chagrin. We'll see.
There we go.
Maybe I'll still get an A for the day.
I think you will.
It's been a good day. It's been a good day. All right. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys before we go any further, ZLA Solutions, they have been with us since the very beginning. ZLA Solutions, they do all kinds of business end solutions for your companies. I mean, they can help you with your sorting, your containment, your logistics, your warehousing, any of that, but their bread and butter still remains staffing. All right, so if you need people, I don't care if you need onesies and twosies with special niche skills or you need an entire shift of people, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. They can do that for you. They're doing it for clients all over, and they just had their biggest year ever. ZLA Solutions, you can find them on their website, ZLAUSA.com. They can come in there and help you with high-tech white-collar stuff or staff out an automotive factory or, for that matter, put people in your hospital. Just check them out. If you need people, that's what they do. They can the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. And do me a favor, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that part. All right. Is he on? Did Jeff call in? Jeff from Indiana, are you calling me from the Golden Corral Buffet?
I'm calling you from the Golden Corral Buffet, where if you stay at if you come in at about 10 to a 4, you can get, when you're old codger like me at 60 years old, you get a buffet and a drink for $10.
Buffet and a drink for $10? Well, I'm telling you right now, with prices being what they are, you couldn't go home and eat for that much.
Oh, no. And then, like I say, you come in at 5 to a 4, and then they change the menu at 4 to about $15, $20 buffet, and then you get steak and big shrimp, and everything else is good in here.
Well, good on you. How'd you get off of work today?
I had a doctor's appointment.
Well, that's what you're telling us, but now the whole world knows you're really at Golden Corral picking out.
Well, you know, we've got to go somewhere after you get to go to the doctor's appointment.
Hey, let me ask you, you're always an astute follower of the news, and I know when you're in the truck especially, you're covering down on stuff. What'd you think of the Trump speech last night? Did you get a chance to see it?
I did not.
What?
And that's... I did not. I actually went to sleep.
We're going to have to reconsider your retainer. I don't know what's happening here.
I know it, but, I don't care what he said, but, he got a raw deal and he got screwed. So, you know, what more can you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much the across the board. Even CNN pundits are beginning to look at this and think that indictment does not measure up to the hype that it was given. I don't know, man. We will see.
I hope whoever released the information goes to jail before he does.
Yeah, that too. I saw your text, and you're absolutely right. And I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out it wasn't Alvin Bragg himself.
Yeah, that's what I say. I think that Congress needs to give him a probe. not the good kind. But, you know, he's bound to have something in his life where he's screwed up something somewhere. You know, we don't hear. I haven't heard any information on his personal life or what he's done or anything else. So it'd be kind of interesting to know that.
Yeah, and he's been in office for an entire what year? And he's already downgraded 50% of the felonies that have come through his office to misdemeanors, except for this one. He's upgraded from misdemeanors to felonies, and then he sliced it up 34 different ways. Unbelievable.
Yeah. If I'm a family that's a victim of a murder that he let go, you know, you better be glad that he's a Democrat instead of a Republican, because if he was a Republican, yeah, and stuff like this happened, he'd be in protective custody right now, because he wouldn't be free.
No, that's a great point. I mean, at some point, you got to look at it and realize that victims have rights, and there's actually victim rights organizations. And if we're going to see a constant stream of downgrading of violent crimes to misdemeanors and people walking free, and yet we're going to do everything we can to just create this faux indictment of the former sitting president, that's just an injustice right there.
Yeah, people are lucky that Republicans aren't vicious and destroy things like the Democrats do, because we got plenty of reason to do that right now.
Well,
but we don't.
Well, we don't, and we don't need to. We don't need to be those guys. But all right, Jeff, listen, man. Hey, thanks for calling in. By the way, even though it's a buffet, tip your waitress.
Oh, I always do.
All right, Jeff Rowe, we'll see you, man. We have so many. I mean, remember, I think one of my favorite things is this audience. You know, it's. I mean, why do we do what we do? Because of y'all. Absolutely.
I mean, they are so much fun. The text lines when they call in, and when they call in just to talk to me. So it's great.
They do. Y'all don't realize it, but a lot of times I'm over here talking on the radio, the phone will ring, and I'm thinking I got a caller coming in, and Boomer just talk for a minute and hang back up. Who was that? I just talk to me.
Sometimes I just have to be like, hey, so sorry, I can't talk. I'm watching three screens. I got to jump to a commercial or do something else.
Well, hey, before we run out of time, let's do this. You were still trying to reach our winner of the bracket, right?
You didn't. Yes, we're still trying to reach him. So the three winners, Mason Dillinger. Did it again. He's number one. He won our March Madness. Michael was number two, and Ellis was number three. Ellis has reached out. We have got all his stuff ready to go and being shipped out.
All right. So we got swag ready for y'all, and especially the winner. We talked about it the other day. So we've got, for the number one winner of the bracket, which was, you said, was it Michael Dillinger, you said?
Mason.
Mason Dillinger. Mm-hmm. So Mason, you got to give us your mailing information, dude. So Boomer's already been sending you texts or emails. We can send that to you ASAP. We've got a Right Side Ruffian t-shirt, which Boomer happens to be wearing right now.
Yes.
Not yours. We're going to get you another one. A Right Side Ruffian t-shirt. We got an engraved Right Side Radio Yeti mug. And then we've also got a limited edition, specially made Right Side coin.
Yes.
This is actually very cool.
It's really cool. Yeah. Here we go.
All right. You hold it up to the camera?
Yeah, I'll hold it up. Right.
All right. Those who are live streaming with the show, there's the coin. And by the way, that's a very limited edition. Ain't but a few in the world. And so that's coming out to our winners. And then we got swags, too. We got stuff going to our number two and three places. So, again, Boomer, thanks for setting that bracket up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm ready for you to set up the NHL transgender hockey bracket for the for the next round.
That's what we'll do. I don't know what we'll be, how we'll be doing the pick'ems, but we'll see. I guess who just doesn't, or who's not able to play anymore.
I'm actually gonna have to find that story again. You know what? I'm gonna have to find that story again.
There may be a new one out soon. Who knows?
I think somebody told me too. The NHL pulled the transgender league altogether because it really wasn't going very well.
I saw an article about that. They're thinking of pulling the whole thing.
All right, find me that article tomorrow. We're gonna talk about that. I think. That's
or
almost
pulling
like
a trans night or something. Like, I'll find it. I'll find it again tomorrow.
Yeah, for those who don't remember, they decided the NHL had a sponsored transgender league, and the guys who believe that they're women played against the women who believe that they're guys. And it wound up with some pretty significant injuries. Like,
not good.
Like, when the one big dude who thinks he's a chick slammed the one little bitty chick who thinks she's a dude into the wall, it resulted in a concussion. She was out cold on the ice, and they had to carry her off on a stretcher. I mean, someone's going to get killed with this mess. I don't get it. Do I hear music playing in the background? Yes, all right, do. The pastor has to quit preaching. All right, folks, listen, it's an amazing day. What a great show. We had Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, on with us. The Grand Council with Dale Jackson, Jeff Poore. had any number of storylines that we covered, and we'll still be back here tomorrow at 2. You guys have an amazing night. We love you. See you then.